Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Monopolized Life in the Age of Corporate Power by David Dayan is a nonfiction book of economic and political analysis that examines how corporate concentration has reshaped ordinary life in the United States, drawing on reporting, vignettes, and case studies. Dayan argues that the country has moved into an era in which a small number of large firms control essential parts of daily life, from banking and airlines to telecommunications, pharmacies, and medical supply chains. The book is not a technical antitrust treatise. Instead, it translates the effects of monopoly power into concrete human terms, showing how market concentration narrows choice, weakens bargaining power, and changes the relationship between consumers, workers, and institutions. Its larger purpose is to make monopoly a public issue again, and to connect lived experience with the broader history and future of antitrust enforcement. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how corporate concentration became a defining feature of modern American life. A central argument in the book is that monopoly is not a narrow business problem, but a structural condition that now shapes ordinary experience. Dayan describes a market environment in which a few firms dominate many basic services, so competition often exists more in theory than in practice. This concentration matters because it changes how people interact with essential systems. Choosing a bank, filling a prescription, booking a flight, or getting a phone plan is no longer guided by robust competition, but by a small set of powerful providers. The book explains that this is not simply about higher prices, although that can be part of it. It is also about reduced resilience, weaker consumer leverage, and fewer meaningful alternatives when something goes wrong, by framing monopoly as a lived condition rather than an abstract legal category. Dayan makes the problem legible to readers who may not follow antitrust policy, but do experience its consequences every day. Secondly, using case studies to show the real-world effects of monopoly power, Dayan relies on vignettes and concrete examples rather than dense theory. And this method is one of the book's most important strengths. The case study approach allows him to connect broad economic trends to specific sectors where consolidation is easy to observe, such as banking, airlines, telecom, pharmacies, and medical supply chains. Each example serves a larger analytical purpose. It shows that corporate dominance does not stay confined to corporate balance sheets, but filters down into routine decisions, service quality, and access. This approach helps readers see how monopolistic markets can alter behavior on both sides of a transaction. Consumers adapt to limited options, workers face stronger employers, and local institutions become dependent on distant firms. The book's evidence is persuasive because it builds from recognizable situations rather than from statistics alone. Instead of treating monopoly as an abstract policy debate, Dayan demonstrates its consequences in settings readers already understand, making the broader argument more immediate and difficult to dismiss. Thirdly, how monopoly power inverts normal market relationships. Another important theme is the way concentrated markets reverse the usual assumptions of capitalism. In a competitive ideal, buyers can switch providers, sellers must compete for business, and large institutions are constrained by the threat of losing customers. Dayan argues that in monopolized sectors, those protections weaken or disappear. Consumers become dependent on firms that can set terms, reduce service quality, or standardize products with little fear of losing market share. The result is a market relationship in which the firm often dictates conditions and the individual must adapt. This inversion is especially significant because it affects more than price. It changes accountability, dignity, and choice. When a few corporations dominate access to essential goods and services, the relationship is less like a free exchange and more like a system of managed dependency. Dayan's analysis helps explain why monopoly power is experienced not only as an economic inconvenience, but also as a broader social and civic loss, since it reduces the ability of ordinary people to influence institutions that shape their lives. Fourthly, why antitrust is presented as a democratic issue, not only a legal one. The book places antitrust in a political and civic frame rather than treating it as a specialized legal field. Dayan suggests that concentration of corporate power has consequences for democracy, because large firms do not merely operate inside markets. They influence what choices are available, how institutions behave, and how much power ordinary people can exercise. That makes monopoly a public governance problem, not just a matter for regulators and courts. The book's argument is that reviving antitrust is about restoring a healthier balance of power in society, where markets remain open enough that citizens are not forced into dependence on a tiny number of private gatekeepers. This perspective helps readers understand why monopolies can erode democratic life even without obvious scandal. When essential sectors become highly concentrated, political voice can be diluted by corporate lobbying, and public accountability becomes harder to enforce. Dayan does not treat antitrust as a nostalgic return to an earlier economy. He presents it as a practical tool for reasserting democratic control over basic economic life. Lastly, a call to renew public understanding and resistance to corporate hegemony, Monopolized is also a book of persuasion, aimed at rebuilding public awareness around an issue that has often been treated as technical or outdated. Dayan's broader goal is to supply readers with the conceptual and factual material needed to see monopoly power as consequential and urgent. He argues that once people understand how concentration affects everyday life, they are better equipped to demand policy responses, support enforcement, and recognize corporate power as a political question. The book stands out because it does not simply identify problems. It tries to shift the frame through which readers interpret those problems. Rather than assuming monopoly is inevitable, it presents it as the product of choices in law, regulation, and political economy. That makes the book useful for readers who want to understand not only what has happened, but also why the issue matters now. Its practical value lies in giving a clear vocabulary for discussing corporate power and a stronger basis for thinking about what resistance might look like. In conclusion, Monopolized Life in the Age of Corporate Power should be read by anyone interested in antitrust policy, political economy, journalism about institutions, or the practical consequences of corporate concentration. It is especially useful for readers who want an accessible but serious account of how monopoly power affects everyday life, rather than a purely legal or academic treatment. The book's main benefit is that it connects large structural trends to ordinary experiences, making a complex subject easier to understand without oversimplifying it. Readers come away with a clearer sense of how concentrated markets shape prices, service quality, consumer choice, and the balance of power between large firms and the public. What distinguishes it from many similar books is its emphasis on lived reality. Instead of focusing only on abstract theory or historical doctrine, Dayan uses reporting and case studies to show what monopoly means in practice. That makes the book valuable, both as an introduction to the modern antitrust debate and as a lens for interpreting the economy more critically. It is a strong choice for readers who want to understand why corporate power has become one of the central policy issues of the era. If you would like to support David Dayan, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.